Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our special guest the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, State Representative Michael Marcello, a Scituate Democrat. Thanks for joining us, Rep.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
The General Assembly had a bumpy ride to the close of its legislative session. The House, for example, voted to impose a 10-cent toll on the new Susquehannock River Bridge after voting 1 week earlier to delay the tolls. The head of the State Department of Transportation sent an email to lawmakers before that first vote warning of negative consequences from delaying the toll. So, Rep, why did your colleagues disregard that information last week?
I don't know if we actually disregarded it. I know that I got it during the session, but I didn't read it till after we were well into the budget debate. So I think there were some discussions going on from very early on. But at the end of the day, the information that we received and I think there was some confusion as to when the substantial completion date on that bridge was going to occur. And we had voted to allow a study committee to issue a report before that substantial completion date, which is important because you still have the ability to put tolls on the bridge before it's substantially completed. But unbeknownst to us, the date was earlier than expected.
Maureen, East Bay lawmakers are very unhappy about the imposition of this toll, even though it's just 10 cents to start. How do you see the political fallout?
I think it could be significant in the sense that we know at the end of the session you have all these bills and they lead them to the last minute because they want to trade. But this was one that didn't need to be in that mix. And the fact is that it alienated a lot of people. It was inept or completely disingenuous. We don't know what. But I mean, in that sense, it doesn't look good. And at the end of the ruffle of the end of the session, to add this to it really makes it a problem.
Scott, Rhode Island has had a gap in the hundreds of millions of dollars for years in funding its transportation needs. Are people just naive to think that we can have this infrastructure without having to pay for it?
That's exactly what's going on. I think there's a lot of people out there who, it's like all government services, they want good services and they don't want to pay for them. We know that we've got a problem with infrastructure. Look at our water systems. Neglected here, the Providence Water Supply Board has to spend about $500 million over the next maybe 10 or 15 years to replace pipes. Now they're lucky because they go to the PUC and they're going to get a 24% increase to do this. Somebody has to pay for the bridges. Either it's a user fee, those who drive over the bridges, or we have to decide as a state that we're going to spend the tax money. People in Burrillville are going to support the Susquehannock River Bridge, whether or not they use it or not. So it's pay me now or pay me later.
House Speaker Gordon Fox and Senate President Teresa Piva-Weed said at the start of the session that they'd focus this year on economic development, but legislation to reshape the State Economic Development Corporation hasn't been addressed until the very end of the General Assembly session. What kind of message does this send, Scott?
Well, I'm not sure that this was the biggest deal in the world. I think that a lot of this was much ado about nothing. They get these reports from these think tanks and they think they have to address them. I think a bigger problem is not going along with Governor Chafee's plan to reduce the corporate tax from 9% down to 7%. I think that would have sent a real message to the business community that we care about you.
What do you say to the same question, Rep. Marcello, and has the legislature done enough this session to try and bolster economic development?
Well, I think we could do more. The House did pass that bill, I think, maybe 6 weeks ago, and it just weren't able to agree with the Senate. So I think there's some negotiations that have been going on, but it certainly has been a little disappointing from my perspective. But again, they are working on it.
Maureen, from where you sit, how well or how poorly has the General Assembly done this year in focusing on economic development?
Well, I tend to agree with Scott in the sense that I was disappointed about the corporate tax. I think that was a very constructive thing. As far as the reconfiguration of the Economic Development Corporation, personally, I'm glad it didn't go through the way that it had originally been proposed. My suspicion is what's going to happen is a minor addendum that's going to talk about mission statements, about accountability, about that kind of thing. And as Scott and I have often said, I think we need to let Marcel Valois do his job and see how the new configuration fleshes out.
Rep. Marcello, you were a vocal supporter this year for including $2.5 million in the budget to begin the process of paying back 38 Studios bondholders. Why do you think that was so important to include?
I thought it was very important to conclude because I do believe that if we did not make that payment, that the bond rating not only of the state but the municipalities would be under review a day before the vote. Standard & Poor's, and I think, even believe Moody said they would under review, have this under review and consider lowering our bond rating 2 or 3 notches. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that means that when you go out to borrow at the city level, municipal level, state level, you're going to pay more in taxes. You're going to be paid more in interest costs on those bonds. So I think it just needed to be done. Not a very popular thing to do, but I think in the long term, it will benefit the state because we protected the state's credit rating. And I think the proof is in the pudding. Moody's just recently indicated that the entire review that they were going to have is now complete and that they're not going to review the state's debt bond rating anymore, given that vote.
Was including the money the right move for the state, Maureen?
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, I think we had to put it in. I mean, we can do some negotiating down the road. But I think at this point, it's not where we've been. It's where we're going. We have to move on. I realize there's going to be ramifications. There's going to be lawsuits. But whatever we can do to ameliorate this mess and move into a new phase, I think is worth considering.
Scott, do you agree with this argument that including the money for 38 Studios bondholders was necessary to preserve the state's credit rating and reputation?
Well, I don't think we want to be known as the deadbeat state, frankly. And I think that Rep. Marcello has a good point about what these rating agencies do. Now, it's not fair. It really isn't the way that Wall Street's able to control these things. I mean, these people who bought these bonds knew they were risky. They were getting a high interest rate. And sometimes, you know, the rest of us going to Wall Street, we don't get these guaranteed kind of deals. And if the stock goes down, then fine. But that said, I do think that in the short term, the only thing we can really hope for, I think that Governor Javey's done a smart thing in hiring Max Wistow to go after some of these companies and some of the law firms that got us on this ridiculous gravy train. And, of course, it'd be nice to see Governor Carcieri have to testify under oath as to what he was actually thinking about when he did this deal.
Well, speaking of former Governor Don Carcieri, he was a strong opponent of a proposal when he was governor to unionize child care workers who receive state subsidies. That is back now. And do you think that's a good idea, Scott, to unionize those, allow those workers to unionize?
Sure. I mean, they have the right to unionize. I think one thing is they should have the right to unionize. One thing that this will do, hopefully, it'll give them benefits so they won't be on public subsidies for getting their health care. Right care, hopefully they could, from the providers, have their own health insurance. That would help the taxpayers, actually.
Rep. Marcello, how do you respond to critics who say that allowing these child care workers to unionize is the camel's nose under the tent and it will run up state expenses and lead to arbitration settlements and that kind of thing?
Well, the statute is very clear and says that they're not to be considered state workers and under any circumstances not eligible for state benefits, pension benefits, and whatnot. Massachusetts and Connecticut have similar laws. Again, I agree with Scott. I think it's designed to help them get not only better training, but better wages for a very critical job. So I don't think it's, at the end of the day, I support the people, their right to organize.
What do you think, Maureen?
I'm a little more skeptical. I mean, in the sense that it's similar to Massachusetts and Connecticut, but the devil is in the details. And the fact is that they could unionize privately. It's a very different act when they have to negotiate through the governor. So I think there's a certain benefit to this and a certain justice in the whole thing. But I think we have to be careful because this is a way to increase unions and responsibility. And we are in desperate shape and can't afford to be spending more money on things like this.
Just to wrap up, it has been a very bumpy end to the legislative session. Rep. Marcello, how do you see the fallout of this for House Speaker Gordon Fox?
It's hard to say. Obviously, the East Bay legislators are very upset about what occurred with the tolling. I do believe, though, however, that at the end of the day, he will continue to have the support of the House.
What do you say, Scott?
I think probably he will, certainly in the short term. We know one thing about the legislature, the House of Ambition. There's a projected coup up there every 5 or 6 years. I still think that Fox has another year or two to go.
I'm wondering if he really wants to be there now. I mean, this has been a really rough session. I think we have to wait and see.
All right, we're out of time, so we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott?
Happy 4th to everyone.
Maureen?
Thank you, and happy 4th.
And State Representative Michael Marcello, Democrat of Scituate.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Happy 4th, everyone.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. If you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org. And a very happy 4th of July to all our listeners.